Good morning. Welcome to worship, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. We start with intimations, and the unlikely event of a fire alarm situation, as usual, is the way out of the sanctuary is straight through the doors, out the front door, and then we meet up in the car park at the school. The other parts of the building, it's out the two side doors, and again up to the school. Cup of tea after the service. It's a good time just to chat and to be together, but social time together. So in the small hall, time for a cup of tea and a biscuit. And then on Tuesday at the Guild, on the 22nd Tuesday at 1:30, Scott Cameron was talking about old hymns, new tunes. And on Wednesday, from 2 o'clock, North Ayrshire Guilds together, holding the autumn rally in Mansfield Trinity Church, and the speaker is Lorna Patterson. Church magazine, 3rd of November is not that far away. Alan, can I get an extension? Can I ask for an extension now? Articles are now being accepted for the December issue of Church magazine. To Alan by 3rd of November, magazine at livingston.church.org.uk, and also this Christmas edition is going to be in colour, and it's a shared or a joint version with our dear, and one of the few the main theme for view from the pews is loneliness, isolation and Christmas, specifically what actions could a congregation take to alleviate this. So there's an invitation for anyone who wishes to put in their thoughts by the 3rd of November, and you don't have to put your name to it. An appeal for new and unused gifts, toiletries, cosmetics and jewellery can be recycled for the gift stall for the Christmas fair. There's already donations in the box in the vestibule, but there's room for more. And Catherine Reed's prepared a quiz to help make some money for the fair. Quiz is called In the Garden, costs £1. If anyone can take some quizzes to distribute to friends, please see Catherine at the end of the service. And Livingston Players, we know it's coming to Christmas. We've got the panto and everything as well. So sold out Wednesday, still tickets on the Tuesday, 3rd and Thursday, 5th, Friday, 6th. Tickets, £7, £5, and speak to Ross. And next week is shared worship at Our Dear, 10:30. And also next week is the clock going back. So Our Dear get an hour and a half later service. I gave up trying to work it. Ross and I were talking about what it means, because you get an extra hour, but we brought the service forward an hour, so I think that cancels Livingston out. But be aware, the clocks do go back on Sunday morning. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Amen. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Praise God, my soul, for in him are your health and salvation. Let's worship God.
Thank you.
join together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty and all-living God, all-loving God, Heavenly Father, in awe and reverence we come to praise you, to proclaim your greatness, to acknowledge your power, to recognize your sovereignty, to declare your goodness. Compassionate and caring God, with grateful hearts we come to praise you for your love that constantly surrounds us, for all the blessings of our lives, for the wonders of our world, for the hope of our faith in Jesus Christ. Merciful and forgiving God, in sorrow and shame we come before you to confess our unworthiness of your goodness, to confess we have not loved you or one another as you have called us to do, to confess we have failed to appreciate your many gifts and that we've broken your commandments. Living and life-giving God, in faith and trust we come to petition you, to pray for ourselves, for one another, and for our world, to bring the concerns of our daily life before you, to lift our loved ones into your presence, to commit the affairs of our world into your hands. And so, Lord of all, we offer this time of worship, this time of our praise, our thanksgiving, our confession, and our petition. Touch our hearts with your living and loving presence and fill our lives with your grace so that our love for you may grow and our faith may be deepened and our service strengthened. Father, hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For all the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. Colours of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up, the night is behind. Let's worship.
Thank you.
we continue with our offering. To prayer points this morning. Adrossan Presbytery prayer cycle is Dorai St. Margaret's. Interim moderator in locum is Marion Howie. But pray for them for next Monday, week Monday 28th, the evening is the induction of David Alban, who's going to be the next minister there. So they're starting off on a new journey with a new minister. To pray too for the Church and Society Committee of Presbytery, convener Archie Curry. And from Crossreach, it's Belfield and Bankery, a residential home for 34 older people. And the prayer points are giving thanks to God for his continued guidance for the management and staff, enabling staff to provide a warm, comforting and peaceful environment. And Belfield is thankful for the time given by the many volunteers of the service and pray for their ongoing involvement in the future. And from Partha Renewal, Dumbarton Presbytery, Bulljaffrey Parish Church, Ian McCune's a minister there, Glasgow Presbytery, it's Partick South, Randy McIntyre, and Bulshagra Victoria Park, which is now vacant, Argyle Presbytery, Loch Yelphead Congregation and Reverend Hilda Smith and the mentors Alan Hamilton and Jim Gemmell. Let's focus our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our wills as we pray to the God of all creation. Let's pray. Holy and heavenly God, you're the focus of our love and our worship, because you alone are the Lord who has made us and rescued us. May we not return to the slavery of sin, but live in your freedom, serving you with joy and thankfulness for all that you have done for us. Holy God, and though the world may often reject you, you never fail to believe in us all and love us with tenderness. We pray for all areas of conflict, of deceit, of mismanagement and greed, and for all who are drawn in the chaos of evil. Almighty God, our daily lives provide such rich ground for acts of loving kindness, self-discipline and courage. Remind us of these opportunities and strengthen us to use them. Father, as we pray, we give you thanks for all who lovingly look after those in nursing homes and hospitals and nurseries and prisons, and we pray for all who need such care and rely on others' help. I call to mind those who have recently died and thank you for each act of goodness in their lives. Pray, Lord, you have mercy on them, forgive their failings. And Father, as we pray for each one here, those who are on our left and our right, those who are seated in front of us or behind us, those seated above us or below us, and those in another part of this building. And Father, as we pray and we worship. We pray that you would touch each person we've prayed for to the point of their need with your Spirit. But we commit ourselves to you again, Lord, and ask that you would use us for the building up of your kingdom here in this place, in this community. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. Let's worship. Come to reading of the word again. It's from Revelation 3. It's the message to the church in Sardis, and Anne's going to read for us.
To the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
A moment in prayer, and just to enable and ask the Spirit to come and to lead us and guide us into what it is that God wants to say to us through this reading. And then Anne will read again, and then we'll just remain seated and sing, "Focus My Eyes on You, O Lord." So let's take a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask Your Spirit present with us now to lead us as we hear again those words, Your Word. And Lord, open us to what it is that You want to say to us this morning through that reading. In Jesus' name, Amen.
To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
Focus my eyes on you, O Lord. Focus my eyes on you. To worship in spirit and in truth, focus my eyes on you. Turn round my life to you, O Lord. Turn round my life to you. To know from this night you've made me new, turn round my life to you. Fill up my heart with praise, O Lord. Fill up my heart with praise, to speak of your love in every place. Fill up my heart with praise.
Let's pray. Father, we turn to you, and I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. cleanse my tongue. I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray I'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So yesterday I was doing one of the usual changes to the goldfish tank, 155-litre tank, and every couple of weeks it needs a bit of a change of water, not a whole change, but maybe 20-30% of the change of water, and tidied up and sorted out and just made to look a bit better again. And it was only when I was starting to do that I suddenly realised there was a lot dirtier than I thought it was. And yet I'd been changing it every couple of weeks. I've been doing these changes, but it was far dirtier, it was far worse than I actually thought it was. And during the time and looking at the fish and looking at the tank, it looked all right. But yesterday when I started to look to do the change, it really was quite bad. The water was a colour it really shouldn't have been, and there was lots of stuff kind of floating about and just wasn't right. And I couldn't work out at first why that was the case until I remembered that I hadn't done anything with the filter. It's an external filter, so there's a hose that takes water out the tank, through the filter, and another hose that brings it back in to the tank. And the reason I hadn't done anything to the tank, or the time it was since I'd touched the filter, was because we knew we were moving. Then you have to, when you move the fish tanks, you have to take the water with you, and you need to preserve as much bacteria as possible for the fish when you get them moved and get the tank installed in its new place. So I deliberately didn't touch the filter for maybe a couple of months or so before we moved. And then I realised it was August that we'd moved the tank, and this was now towards the end of October. And I thought, that's the reason for everything. That's the reason it doesn't look right, is because I haven't done the filter. And so I disconnected the filter and I opened it up, and actually you don't want to have the description of what I found. But suffice to say that the filter wasn't working properly, because the filter was full of gunge, sponges that should be kind of sponge-like. Well, they weren't. So I had to clean my way right through the whole thing. And indeed, over the next couple of months or so, I'll have to replace certain bits of the filter, some sponges and stuff, because they're probably now overused. But you know, it dawned on me as I was doing all this that the reason I hadn't picked up on it is because it looked all right. The tank looked all right most of the time. When I looked at it, I could see the fish swimming about. It looked all right. The fish, the goldfish, they'll grow to about 20 centimetres. We got them when they were just a few centimetres, but they'll grow. They're fairly big at the moment, and they've certainly been growing. So everything looked all right. But the danger was, or the danger could have been, had I not switched on to this in time, is that as the filter stopped working, things would have changed. The tank would have got dirtier, and it would have become an unhealthy place for the fish. The fish would have been swimming around in unhealthy water for them, and eventually what would have happened is they would have died. But I never saw that coming. I never picked up on it. In many ways, I was just used to seeing the fish tank as it was, the fish swimming around as they were, and everything being kind of all right. I got used to that. Danger was, in many ways, that the fish tank was becoming part of a furniture of the room. And actually, I wasn't alert to what was going on. I wasn't watching what was going on. And so yesterday morning, when I actually started to look, it was very much a wake-up call for me to remind me of what I need to do. That's supposedly the good news for the goldfish. But we've got another tank, another 200-litre tank with an external filter that's not been touched for about the same amount of time. So I hate to think what that one's going to look like. However, it's a wake-up call for me. And actually, as I look at the fish, I need to watch and look more carefully at what we're doing. And for me, as you start to look at this reading, here's Jesus with a wake-up call for this church in Sardis. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. The reputation of being alive, but actually, Jesus is saying they're dying. You're dying. And I wonder what that reputation, what was the reputation of being alive? What would that look like? Were they just doing things by habit, by tradition? Were they doing things without actually looking about why they were doing them? Church wouldn't have been in existence for that long, but it doesn't take that long for habits and traditions to form. So had they lost some focus? Were they just doing things by rote, going through the motions? Was there any growth coming out of all that activity they seemed to be doing? Because it would appear that had the reputation of being alive. So was that when people were looking that there was things happening? As they were looking at what they were doing, there was things happening, but they didn't look at how things were happening. So they have this reputation, have a reputation of being alive. And you know, part of the warning from Jesus here is that if we grow comfortable in our churches, if things are comfortable, we might find ourselves slowly dying, and we might not even realize it. So this church in Sardis, did they get too comfortable? Were they just happy with how they were meeting, when they were meeting, what they were doing, and it was all very easy for them and very sorted, that actually what they don't realize is they're slowly dying? Have they forgotten their calling? Their calling to love God and to love others. Their calling to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it seems to me this church was just slowly gliding into oblivion. Just dying. It was comfortable. Things were happening, but they didn't look too deeply. And here's Jesus who says, wake up. Wake up and have a look. Wake up and watch what's happening around you. Wake up and repent. Wake up and be alert. You know that there's many times that Scripture shows us times where we have to be alert or we have to be watching. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. That's from Luke's Gospel. From Mark, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. From Peter, 1 Peter, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. From 1 Corinthians 16, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. from Luke's Gospel. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. From Acts, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you right, night and day with tears. Thessalonians, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be awake and sober. And it goes on. Scripture has lots of times where it speaks about waking up, being alert, watching, having a look. And you know, one of the things for this church that was dying, the reputation of being alive and dying, one of the things is that, as I've spoken over the last few weeks about the spiritual warfare and the work of the evil one, the devil, in all this, actually, here's a church he doesn't have to worry about. Here's a church he doesn't have to bother about. It's pretty harmless, because they're not speaking about Jesus. They're kind of comfortable and doing what they're doing. It's not a threat to him, because some of his work's already been done there, and the people have forgotten. But be alert. Wake up. Be alert. Keep on watching. Keep on praying. Repent. Remember. So in this warning and this plea almost from Jesus for them to actually waken up and be alert and watch and repent, again we come back to these churches are being called to repentance. And the Greek word that's used to repent is metanoia, and actually means change of mind. So the call is to change your mind. The call for these people is to change their minds. Change where their minds were going and move back to where they were, to focus on Jesus and his word. And so repent is that process of changing course, changing mind. Romans 12 speaks about not conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by your mind to be a living and acceptable sacrifice for God. So Jesus is calling this church to change. To change, to waken up, to change their mind, to change their views, to change where they're going, because what he's saying is that's possible. We read towards the end of that message, there are those who still believe. There's those that are still there. There is, says Jesus, something to work with. Strengthen what remains. Build up your faith. Build up your ways. But in many ways, what he is saying is that as the church is called to waken up, to watch, to repent, it's actually about walking in the way of Jesus Christ. And walking in the way was the way it was referenced in those days, that to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you were walking in the way. But that change of mind leads us to do things differently, because the set order can sometimes just lead into routine and movement, but not that focus. So remember the word, says Jesus. Remember, strengthen what remains. Strengthen and hold on to what remains. Strengthen and learn. Strengthen and build. You know, it's very much about, for me anyway, the idea of then, what they're doing is they need to put Jesus into the decision making. So everything that they do, it puts Jesus in the decision making. And that's what we're called to do, is to put Jesus in the decision making. Walking in the way is actually about being the disciple and actually focusing on what it is that Jesus says. And you know, we sometimes get caught up in the fact that when we say we need to ask Jesus about the things in our lives, then surely not the more mundane things. But sometimes it is, well, all times it is. I mean, a choice I might have here is to have a flake, or possibly a banana. Now, my mind tells me I want the flake. I know I want the flake. Actually, a flake's not that good for me. I would be better off with the banana. But is Jesus asking us to involve him in that decision making, whether to have a flake or a banana? And I believe he is. And in many ways as well is the fact that there's a temptation of having the flake, when actually I really just need to have the banana. And I'm going to hide them both back again because I might just go for the flake. But in that decision making, we're called to get Jesus involved in that, to focus on what is it that we're doing. And if we don't involve him in the small things, and sometimes we don't involve him in the big things. We quite enjoy watching that program, Location, Location, Location. And I've said to Maureen on more than one occasion, how would it be if there was a minister on the program saying, find me a new church? What would that look like? With Kirsten and Phil scouring around, looking at all the parish profiles and deciding what might be suited to the minister. Because that's not how it's done. Because it's all about Jesus and what Jesus is saying. And being watchful on him. And actually, that's our lives. That's our calling, to be disciples. And the church in Sardis has a great encouragement. Because Jesus says that actually there's a remnant there. And as long as that remnant is willing to strengthen the things that remain, there is hope. But the warning for the church is, if that remnant is not prepared to do that work, then the church will die. It's not just that it will die, it's that Jesus will take it away. Jesus will close that church. And so for us, again, as we think about things and think about where we are and how that means for us, we need to look at that message. But it's not just that one, it's the others as well. We've still got a couple to go, to think of, to work through. But what is it that if there was the message to the churches in Stevenson, right? What would that be? To the churches of Ardeer and Livingston, right? What would Jesus be saying? These messages that we've seen, what would he be saying? How would it be? Again, if we look at it slightly differently, we all know that there's a 7-year reviewable charge. We should all realise that we're 2.5 years into a 7-year reviewable charge. Presbytery have to give the minister 6 months' notice of whatever's going to happen. So that means in 4 years there needs, at maximum, I should say, maximum 4 years, there needs to be a review. Well, let's just think a wee bit forward into that and imagine the place vacant again. And what would the parish profile say? Picking out the stuff from these messages to the churches, how would that be? I don't want anyone to answer any of these questions directly, but what I want is for you to think about these things and think about what the message is to the church here. We have this church in Sardis being told to waken up, to watch, to be alert, to walk in the way. And actually, as we look and as we serve, then it's important that we actually look to how our future is going to be and what it is that God wants to do here with his churches. Because the danger is that if we do nothing at all, Jesus will remove the church. And one of the other things that a guy called Alan Hirsch says, he talks about the death of communitas, of communities. And he says the loss of communitas also has massive implications for churches and other types of organisations. Without any real engagement with the outside world, churches quickly become sheltered, artificial environments that are safeguarded from the danger and disturbances in the surrounding environment. They become missionally unresponsive. They become closed systems with their own peculiar cultures that have little relational, social or cultural associations to the world outside. The problem is that when a system is closed and artificial and has generally not cultivated adaptability and internal variety, it will ultimately deteriorate towards equilibrium. And in living systems, total equilibrium means death. Contrary to what we might feel, danger and risk can be good, even necessary for us. Had this church in Sardis become a closed system? Had this church in Sardis become sheltered, an artificial environment safeguarded from dangers and disturbances around it? Missionally unresponsive. Jesus' words to that church, that message, was to wake up, repent, strengthen what remains, or die. These are the churches, the choices that church had. And I believe that comes to every church that looks like a Sardis. And it's up to the church to decide how the church is going to respond. But I believe that means that we have to repent and we need to walk in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Let's worship. great Father of glory, pure Father of light. Father, as we leave this place now, may your Spirit travel with us. May he lead us into your world to enable us to meet those that you want us to meet, to share your words with those that you want us to share that word with, to share your love with your people. May we be guided by your Spirit. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever.